listening live.
Because that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Football Friday, October 12th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, UK football. We're not the kind of guys that like to say we told you so, but we told you so. UK basketball. It's time to practice. The Bengals have their biggest game of the year this weekend. The baseball playoffs continue. And we go over our Mac Daddy Stogies, where you're guaranteed victory or your money back. So let's go.
They're off.
She's Asian, she's loose, and she's fat. I hit the trifecta.
If you've mastered the art of win, place, and show wagers, let's try a trifecta.
Creating a trifecta of joint smoking power.
It's the trifecta, the three biggest story of local sports. Number one, Kentucky football has a bye week this week. And after last week, apparently they need one after losing 20-14 in overtime. Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald Leader has said that Kentucky is going to have to hit the reset button, and they're going back to basics. You ever notice the only time you hear hit the reset button and go back to basics is after a loss? You never hear a winning team say that, do you? No, you don't. But if I had told you in August that this team would be 5-1 when they reached their bye week halfway through the season, everybody would have taken that 5-1 and ran for the hills. Honestly, I thought they'd be 2-4 right now. Goes to show you what I knew going into the season. But the one thing that we've been waiting on all year finally was exposed as a fraud. And that fraud's name is Terry Wilson. Wilson's quarterback rating against Texas A&M was a robust 9.2. That's on a grading scale of 0 to 100. And yes, everybody is complaining. Why doesn't the Heisman Trophy candidate Benny Snell get more than 13 carries for 60 yards? And if you look at the numbers in this game, Texas A&M was dominating Kentucky. Total yardage, 390 to 178. Was that all Benny Snell not getting the ball? No, that was incompetent quarterback play. You can insult the play calling all you want, but the quarterback play is what beat them in this game. The defense played very well. They held Texas A&M to fewer points than Alabama did, and then Clemson did. Kellen Mond only had a quarterback rating of 43.5, but he looked like Peyton Manning compared to Terry Wilson's 9.2. But the only question I had about this game, and it's not getting a lot of run whatsoever, with 4 minutes to go, Kentucky picks up a fumble and runs it into the end zone. Did anybody ever think about going for two at that point? You're obviously being outplayed, and now you have a chance to win the game right now with 4 minutes to go. Why chance overtime when you've proven all night that you can't keep up with them? This is your shot. Go for two. If you make it, you're winning the game with 4 minutes to go when you have no business to be winning the game with 4 minutes to go. I just want to know if going for two ever even entered the mind of anyone on that sideline. And a lot of people are blaming the play callers, and that's fine. I get it. 3rd and 2, you've got a Heisman Trophy candidate. Why don't you give him the ball twice and see if you can get a first down? Whatever. It's your quarterback. Play calling is one thing, because we can all sit here and say, oh, they should have ran it. Oh, they should have thrown it. Oh, they should have kicked it. But when you have a quarterback who looks like a deer in the headlights all night long and the numbers reflect it, it's tough to call plays in a spot like that. So Kentucky 5-1, a shocking 5-1. I read where Pete Futek of College Football News said this is the biggest surprise in the country, the University of Kentucky football team this year, in his mid-season report card, and I can't disagree with it. I'm surprised too. I thought they would be 2-4 right now. And of all the ranked teams right now, there are five teams that have beaten three top 50 teams: Ohio State, Notre Dame, Texas, LSU, and Kentucky. And of course, the stars are aligning for Kentucky football. Of the six remaining opponents, those teams are a combined 5-14 against Power 5 teams so far this season. And if you take out Georgia at 4-0, they're a combined 1-14. So all of a sudden, these games that looked like losses at the beginning of the season, Tennessee, Louisville, possibly Missouri, now they look like games that Kentucky should be favored if the games were played today. Kentucky with a bye week this week, And then they come back next week with a home game at night against Vandy. The ESPN FPI says Kentucky has an 83.8% chance to win that game. My, how times have changed in 6 short weeks.
They're off.
But who cares about football when it's basketball time? And it's time for my annual tirade about Big Blue Madness. And yes, I get it. The tickets are free, but parking's not free, concessions aren't free, merchandise and memorabilia are not free, your little t-shirt isn't free. You don't think Kentucky makes out like a bandit on this? Hey, come on down. Tickets are free. You can camp out for 2 weeks and be first in line to get your tickets for this. By the way, if you don't notice, it's a practice. It's a glorified practice. And yes, I know Kentucky's not the only people who do this. I know they do this other places. I know in the SEC, when they have their spring football games, Alabama puts 90,000 people in the stands for their spring game, which means exactly as much as this glorified practice. Zero. But it just pains me every year to see, both in football and basketball, depending on where you are and what the biggest sport of that particular school is, that these fans go to such extremes for a practice or a scrimmage. Look, I wouldn't watch this practice if they were playing in my driveway. But hey, to each their own. God bless you if you're going to Big Blue Madness, taking your family, getting your autographs, getting your shirts and your basketballs. But just remember, it's a practice. Speaking of college basketball, one of my favorite rituals each year is when I receive my Blue Ribbon College Basketball yearbook in the mail. And I got mine this week. As always, if you're an investor, let's just put it bluntly, if you bet on these games, these basketball games, and you don't have this college basketball, Blue Ribbon College Basketball yearbook, you don't know what you're doing. You don't have the inside scoop to start the season. It is on par, if not higher than, the Phil Steele College Football yearbook. Blue Ribbon, I've been getting the Blue Ribbon books since the 90s. I know they started in, I think, 93 or whatever, but I've been getting mine since the late 90s, and I'm telling you, it's worth it every single year. I refer to it all the time. For whatever purpose, I refer to it quite a bit. So if you're investing even a little bit in college basketball, I cannot recommend the Blue Ribbon College Basketball yearbook more. Ask any of the insiders, quote-unquote, in college basketball, and they will say the same thing. They use it for research. I use it to try to pick games. It's one and the same. But looking at the Blue Ribbon rankings, preseason rankings to start the season, of course, Kentucky is ranked number one, followed by some of the usual suspects. Number two, Kansas. Three, Gonzaga. I guess they're a dynasty now. Number four, of course, is Duke. And then come the SEC teams. Number five, Tennessee. Number eight, Auburn. I guess Bruce Pearl is just fine, isn't he? 11, Mississippi State. 18, LSU. 20, Florida. 6 SEC teams in the top 20 in college basketball, according to the Blue Ribbon yearbook. But how good are their preseason rankings? Let's take a closer look.
You gentlemen seen your midterm grades yet? Mr. Blutarski, 0.0. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Yeah, I'm registered in this class. This is U.S. history. See the globe right there?
This guy's been stoned since the third grade.
Yeah, I know that, dude.
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans.
Yeah.
Do you think we should go to commercial? Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die.
This is our College of Sports Knowledge, usually our College of Gambling Knowledge. But today we're not going to talk about gambling. We're going to talk about preseason ratings in the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook, pretty much the Bible of college basketball, and how Kentucky has done compared to their preseason ratings in the last few years. In the last 7 years, not including this year, but in the 7 previous years, going all the way back to the national championship in 2012, Kentucky has been ranked in the top 5. In 5 of those years, they were ranked in the top 3. The year they won the national championship, they were number 2 preseason. The next year, they were number 3 preseason and didn't even make the tournament. They lost in the NIT first round. The infamous Kyle Wilcher team, and they couldn't get him out of town fast enough. 2014, 14, ranked number 2 preseason, floundered all year and then somehow caught fire in the tournament and made the national championship game. So they actually matched expectations that year, if you want to get technical. Then, of course, the 38-1 team was ranked number 1 preseason. The next year, they were ranked number 1 preseason and lost to Indiana in the Sweet 16. 2 years ago, they were ranked number 4, lost to North Carolina in the Elite 8. Last year, ranked number 5, losing in the Sweet 16 to Kansas State. And lo and behold, this year, you guessed it, Kentucky ranked number 1. Now, the editor of this publication is Chris Storch, and he's based in Nashville, and he's always liked to rank Kentucky very high, obviously. Can he be a little biased towards the SEC and maybe Tennessee and Vandy? Maybe, from what I've gathered from him over the years. But the facts remain the same. Kentucky underachieves every year based on the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. I'm still waiting for the Ken Pomeroy ratings to come out. I'm still waiting for the ESPN FPI preseason ratings to come out. I want to see these numbers before making any declarations, because believe me, I don't care if you watched every one of those Bahamas games. I don't care if you watched every practice, pro day, whatever. You know as much as I do right now about this team. Very, very little. But one thing Ken Pomeroy did put out this week, most wins per season since his website has been keeping track of college basketball numbers since 2002. Who's the easy winner? John Calipari. But yet he's only got one national championship to speak of. Probably should have had at least 2 more. And of course, today was media day at Kentucky, and Calipari was quipping about all kinds of different subjects, talking about this and that, and then you heard the media people with their fake media laughs, like everything is absolutely hysterical, and Calipari is so smart and witty. He's a basketball coach, okay? He's not Don Rickles. Some of these schlebs were just laughing. Oh, you're so funny, coach. Oh, is there anything more loserish than the fake media laugh? Not much. So congratulations, UK basketball. College basketball is coming back, and Kentucky's preseason number 1. Based on Calipari's past, the only question we have left is how are they going to underachieve this year?
They're off.
Back to that trifecta, the Bengals are in first place in their division, and they play the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. The Steelers, a 2.5-point underdog in this game to the Bengals. Le'Veon Bell still out for Pittsburgh. The Bengals see the Steelers as their bitter rivals. I don't think the Steelers see the Bengals as their bitter rivals. Since 1999, that's the last century, ladies and gentlemen, Pittsburgh is 18-3 straight up and 17-4 against the spread in Cincinnati. So if you've been betting on the Steelers anytime they come to play the Bengals, you've done very, very well. But what about this year? Who's going to win this game? The Steelers are 2-2-1. Their star running back isn't even on the team right now. And the Bengals riding high, 4-1. The Bengals running the ball well, 4.3 a carry, but not stopping the run, allowing 4.5 a carry. But the Bengals have allowed more touchdown passes than any team in the league. They've allowed 10, and the Steelers are number 1 in the league in sacks. This line has been creeping down. I see this line getting a little closer to even before game time. If you're going to give me the Steelers and some points, I'll take that all day long. In fact, I'll money line this game. That's one of your Mac Daddy Stogie picks. We're going to money line the Steelers, get a little extra value, thinking that they're going to win this game straight up in Cincinnati. We've got history on our side. We've got the much better quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, over Andy Dalton. And for my money, we've got the better coach, Mike Tomlin, over Marvin Lewis. Coach, quarterback, history, give us Pittsburgh all day long. Take the money line. Get some added value. In other news, the baseball playoffs will continue starting today, Friday. The National League Championship Series will start Dodgers at Brewers. Brewers have the home field, but the Dodgers are the big favorite, minus 160 to win this series. Clayton Kershaw against Gio Gonzalez first game. But the series we like to look at, we want to go to the American League. Let's go to see Houston against Boston. Boston is a minus 120 favorite in game 1. Chris Sale over Justin Verlander. Really? You're going to make Sale a favorite over Houston and Verlander? I'll take that all day long. Give us Houston both to win game 1 and to win this series. Houston right now a very slight favorite, so you're basically coin tossing that one too. Throw out the regular season records. We don't care that the Red Sox have won 108 games. Houston's the better team, and for our money, they've got the better game 1 pitcher, because Verlander in the postseason has proven to be much better than Chris Sale, who has a history of tanking in the postseason, and the Red Sox were lucky that they won Game 4 bringing Chris Sale in to pitch the 8th inning against the Yankees in their last game. If that didn't work out, the Yankees would probably be playing in this game. So Sale goes Saturday against Verlander? Yeah. Give us the Astros all day long. Game and series. For that matter, just take them to win the whole thing. They're the best team.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's game is the man who's right 52% of the time. Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy. Until you called me.
All right, forget everything else. Let's just get to the Mac Daddy Stogies. The games that you can put so much money on, you'll be lighting up that Mac Daddy Stogie before the game ends. We'll start the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts, 2.5-point dogs at the New York Jets. The Jets coming off a huge win at home against the Broncos last week. And that's who we like to go against. We like to fade teams after a blowout win. We've got a lot of trends going in the Colts' direction here. This is our play of the week. If you can believe that, Colts 2.5-point dogs at the Jets, our NFL Mac Daddy Stogie. You're looking at two teams that are 2-3 on the season. It's a toss-up, ladies and gentlemen. Take the dog. Give us Andrew Luck over Sam Darnold every day of the week. Oh, and as bad as Andrew Luck is allegedly this year, he still has a completion percentage of 66.5%. But our favorite trend this week is the covering machine, and that's what the Jets have been, a covering machine. Their average cover margin is over 4, but yet they're only a 2-3 team, and the public is on them so much that the line has moved already in their direction. And they're coming off a blowout win? That's our favorite trend of the week. Going with this trend since 2005, you hit 65% of the time. And to quote Brian Fantana, 65% of the time, it works every time. Give us the Colts, 2.5-point dogs at the Jets. You might get 3 if you're patient. The Seattle Seahawks are 2.5-point favorites playing over in London, England against the Oakland Raiders. Our favorite trend in this game? Turnovers. Seattle doesn't commit turnovers, and the Raiders do. Anytime I see a team that on average turns the ball over 1.5 times or less a game, and their defense turns it over 1.5 times or more a game, I'm going to take that team against the spread. That's how Seattle stayed close with the Rams last week, and that's how they're going to beat the Raiders this week. Turnovers. Because believe me, the Raiders are going to turn the ball over against Seattle. Give us Seattle minus 2.5 in London, in jolly old England, against the Raiders. New England, 3-2 on the season at home against Kansas City, undefeated at 5-0. Easy, right? Kansas City's going to kill New England. Well, New England's favored by 3.5. Why is that? Because the desert is telling us who the better team is. And all the trends are with New England. The favorites in primetime games, which have hit 59% since 2005. Fading undefeated road dogs, 4-0 or more, which in the NFL hit 61% of the time since 2005. And of course, Tom Brady kills AFC opponents with winning records, going 42-17 over the years, 71% against the spread. Patriots 3.5-point favorite? We'd take it if they were a touchdown favorite. Patriots end the Chiefs' unbeaten run Sunday night. Pats over Chiefs. College football. The closest team to home that we're going to talk about today is the Louisville Cardinals, coming off an absolute thrashing to Georgia Tech. And now they're 13-point underdogs going to Boston College. Who in God's name, after last week's effort, would take Louisville in this game? I'm raising my hand, ladies and gentlemen. Give us your tired, your poor, and your weak. When I see reverse line movement in heavily bet games, that's 56% since 2005. That favors Louisville in this game. When I see the turnovers heavily on one side, that favors Louisville in this game. 55% since 2005. When I see an unpopular team against the spread, as Louisville is one of the most unpopular teams in Las Vegas this week, I'm taking their side. Louisville plus 13? Yeah, I'll take that all day long. Interconference matchup in the ACC? I'll buy. In fact, I'm going to sprinkle some money on this money line too. But give us Louisville plus 13 coming off that awful performance when everybody has jumped ship. That's when we like to get on the boat. Give us Louisville plus 13 against Boston College. And closer to game time, this line might go up, so keep an eye on it. One of our biggest rules, take emotion out of every decision. If you can't bet on Louisville because you're a Kentucky fan, then you're not a big-time investor, if you know what I mean. Notre Dame, the undefeated Notre Dame Fighting Irish hosting Pittsburgh. Notre Dame 21-point favorite. Why in God's name would we consider taking Notre Dame minus 21? Well, they've only got two more home games all year. This is the next to last home game, if you can already believe that. But the trend we're playing, other than the fact that this team is basically a road win over USC away from making the college football playoff, we like to play top five teams in non-conference games when they're double-digit favorites. Now, is Notre Dame part of the ACC? Not really. They are for basketball, but not football. Regardless, give us Notre Dame minus 21. This trend has hit 71% of the time since 2005. Top five teams playing non-conference teams in which they're double-digit favorites against Power 5 teams. 36-15 since 2005. Make it 37-15. Notre Dame minus 21. Laying the chalk on this one, ladies and gentlemen. Baylor at Texas. Baylor a 14-point underdog. Texas was so good last night, they got Oklahoma's defensive coordinator fired. Oh yeah, his name is Mike Stoops. I wonder if he'll be coming to Kentucky soon. I'm sure he will. The man needs a job. So everybody saw Texas beat Oklahoma last week, so everybody, of course, is going to think Texas is going to beat Baylor this week, right? Wrong. One of our favorite trends, fade a top 10 team after defeating a top 10 opponent. That's what Texas did last week. Look for the letdown. In this spot, fading that Texas team has hit 64% since 2005. That's 103 up, 57 down. That's not bad. Fade the top 10 team after a top 10 win. Give us Baylor plus those 14 points and maybe sprinkle a little bit of money on that under, if you know what I mean. Georgia at LSU. Every talking head that I've listened to this week has said LSU will cover this game. Every single one. And when I hear everybody on the side of one team, I want to immediately go to the other one. Georgia, 7.5-point favorite. If everybody's on LSU, how come this line's going up? Another one of our favorite trends. Take the unpopular ranked road favorites. Since 2005, a ranked road favorite getting less than 30% of the money. 40-24, that's 63%. It doesn't happen often, but it's happening here. Give us Georgia. Minus the big number, 7.5. We think this LSU team might be a little fraudulent, if you know what I mean. Give us the dogs in Baton Rouge. West Virginia, Iowa State in Ames, Iowa. West Virginia, 6.5-point favorite. Why aren't they more? They've got the Heisman Trophy candidate, high-scoring offense. Why aren't they favored by more than 6.5 at poor little Iowa State, who may or may not have their quarterback this week? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's a fishy line, there's a hook. There's a catch. Our trend for this game, fade the ranked teams versus an unranked team if they're playing that game in prime time on national television off a spread loss like West Virginia did last week. Do you follow that trend? Since 2005, 183 up, 123 down. That's 60%. We'll take it again, Brian Fantana. Give us Iowa State. I don't care who the quarterback is. Give us Iowa State plus those 6.5 at home against West Virginia and sprinkle a little money on that under too. And our last game, one of the biggest ones of the day, Michigan, a 9.5-point favorite over Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't seem to be the team that we thought they were in the preseason, but in this one, we like Michigan because of one of our favorite trends. When you have two teams that are ranked playing a conference game, take the favorite. Take the favorite every time, because if you do, you'll hit 57%, 206 up, 154 down. That's since 2005. This season has hit 4-3. Make it 5-3 as Michigan takes out Wisconsin. Give us Michigan minus 9.5 over Wisconsin. So there you have it, our picks for this week. We'll take the Steelers on the money line against the Bengals. We'll take the Colts and the points over the Jets. We'll take the Seahawks and the points over the Raiders. And we'll take New England to cover big against Kansas City. And in college, we'll take Louisville over Boston College, Notre Dame to cover against Pitt, Baylor to catch Texas at a rough time, Georgia to announce their presence with authority over LSU, Iowa State to cover against West Virginia, and Michigan to cover against Wisconsin. Those, my friends, are your Mac Daddy Stogies. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
You're taking the Philadelphia 76ers minus 4 tonight, but I'm going to need you to buy that half point because we ain't no suckers here.
A guarantee, buddy? Does Jesus got a website, dude?
And that does it for the Football Friday, October 12th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. And we're working on more guests to have on the show and maybe to hopefully appear on other shows like we have been doing with John Clay over the last few weeks. And again, a big shout out to him for being so kind to us. So until next time, as always, may the winners be yours.